Okay, our next speaker who will talk about, you can use either mic, by the way, who will give us the situation in Rhode Island is Sue Tuxbury from NOAA Fisheries.
I'm going to talk about Rhode Island now, and I'm mostly concentrating on a recent mapping effort that I worked on in conjunction with Mike Bradley from URI and Kenny Raposa from the Narragansett Bay National Estuary Research Reserve. Narragansett Bay, we don't have quite as many maps as in other areas. First mapping effort was done in 1996, and the most recent mapping effort was done in 2006, with groundkeeping completed in 2007. Block Island was mapped in 99, and again in our most recent mapping effort in 06. The salt ponds, which are along the south coast of Rhode Island, were mapped in 1999, and unfortunately, due to a lack of resources, we didn't get to incorporate them into the most recent mapping effort. But Mike Bradley did some photo interpretation with live maps to just give us a sense of where the eelgrass is from 2006. And this full report you can find at the NIBNR website. So historically, eelgrass covered Narragansett Bay, all the way up the Providence River. Here's Providence. And in 1996, we mapped about 100 acres. So very large decline. In 2006, we mapped about 400 acres, and here you can see it's divided. The yellow is the west passage, pink is the east passage. We've got what we call the marine, which is the south coast of Newport and Littlecompton in green, and then Saconic River in blue. And you can see the majority of it is in the east passage, and this is likely, well, the circulation patterns in Narragansett Bay, you have higher influx from Rhode Island Sound going up the East Passage, and then you have the outflux of more turbid waters, which is further north in Greenwich Bay and coming out of Providence River, going down the West Passage. So in addition, the West Passage is much more shallow, so you have higher turbidity on that end. Saconic River, it's a mystery why we don't have more eelgrass there. It seems like, you know, everything should be right for it to be growing, but it's only found at the mouth here. So just to give you a little more hopeful news for the future, we have the wastewater treatment plants in the watershed have reduced their nitrogen input by 50% just recently, and a combined sewer overflow tunnel was built underneath Providence, and this just was completed in the fall. So though it will probably be years to come before we really see the results of this, the hope is that we'll get improved water quality further north and we can get eelgrass creeping back up further north in the bay. Right now, this little spot right there, Sheepin Cove, from the north end of Prudence Island, that's the furthest north natural bed. So we were wondering why the difference between 100 and 400 acres over 10 years. First, we have improved technology, which I'm not going to get into, and I'll say technology has improved over 10 years, which helped with the maps and photo interpretation. One of the big things we looked at is the difference in how we ground food. In 1996, there was a presence-absence, basically went to the polygon, yes, there's eelgrass there, okay. In 2006, we did a very comprehensive ground truthing effort. We actually dropped a camera, delineated all the deep edges, so that was big difference between methodologies. So we wanted to look at that, and we also wanted to see what was actually eelgrass expansion. So just to give you some evidence regarding the differences, what a difference the ground truthing effort meant. This is the South Shore of Littlecompton. This is the photo interpreted polygon, and this is the actual bed that we found after we ground truthed. It's a 60-acre bed. The largest. So this is one of the more extreme examples, but with a more turbid environment like Narragansett Bay, we did see a lot of times when we went in the field and delineated the deep edge, in some cases the polygons doubled in size. So as a result, we can't make any correlation between that 100 acres in 96 and the 400 acres. So 2006 is really a baseline for moving forward. But we also want to see, can we at least say in some areas there was an expansion? We obviously couldn't redo the 96 photos, so we selected three sites, Fort Getty on the west side of Jamestown, Potter's Cove on the east side, and T-Wharf, which is south of Prudence Island. Mike Bradley did photo interpretations of the 96 maps and the 2006 maps. And these are photo interpretation alone, no ground truthing, just to make somewhat of a more direct comparison. So, as you can see, at least with Fort Getty, particularly in the south, we did have some expansion here in 2006. 2006 is in green. This is Potter's Cove, 2006 is in purple, and we did see quite a bit of expansion there. And Prince Island, the yellow is 2006, the red is 96. And actually, we were surprised to see quite a bit of fringing beds going up the west side of Prince Island. So, at least, though we can't make any comparison, we can at least say at these three sites we did see some expansion. So, moving on to Block Island. Here, you want to, these are maps from the Narragansett Bay Estuary program. You want to look at the hot pink polygons there. That's the eelgrass that was mapped in 99. Mostly some outside Great Salt Pond, some in Trim's Pond here, and outside Old Harbor. It's about 35 acres. Again, keep in mind that there's a difference in ground truthing methods. So in 2006, we mapped about 60 acres. As you can see, it looks like we've had an expansion over outside Great Salt Pond. Still have eelgrass in Old Harbor, but the bed and Trim's Pond is completely gone. They went back looking for it. It's not there. Probably nutrients and higher temperatures. Though I have heard some anecdotal evidence too from the folks from TNC that work out on Block Island, and they've said they've seen more scattered fringing beds along some of the higher energy sites on Block Island, which weren't there 20 years ago. So it's surprised to see it kind of growing in between the rocky cobbles habitat up there. Moving on to the salt ponds. These are five main salt ponds. I'll do this quick. These are, again, the pink. They about 470 acres. And in 06, again, this is not even ground truth. These are Microsoft Live maps that we that Mike did. Quick photo interpretation just to have an idea. The one thing we have been hearing, a lot of anecdotal evidence of eelgrass expanding in Point Judith Pond, which is right over here. So if you go back, you can see Point Judith Pond, there's not much there. So that does appear to be true, at least with that. So on to future plans, we've assembled a Rhode Island Eelgrass Task Force, which includes state, federal, NGOs, URI. We all got together to work on a long-term monitoring plan. Mike and Kenny are now finalizing that plan, which includes three tiers of monitoring. We want to continue the overflights and remote sensing, preferably at a much more frequent interval than every 10 years, so we can make a better comparison. Rapid assessment, which is at facilities work in the Gulf of Maine, and Seagrass Net, we Save the Bay is monitors two sites in Narragansett Bay currently, so we want to continue that. And of course, we need money, so let's do that. So